Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, this morning's podcast. I'm with my beautiful friends, with Pia and Colin, and we come to you. We've been coming to you once a month. We weren't here last month, but we're here again today. So it's an honor and a pleasure to be with you. Hi, Pia and Colin. How are you this morning?
Hi, Cornelia. Happy to be with you as always.
Colin, how are you? Good morning.
I'm pretty good, actually. I'm practicing as much gratitude as I can do to be happy about who we are and what we're doing and what we're achieving.
Right. That's what a fantastic thing to do for yourself and for everybody else. And I'm in that space with you, practicing that gratitude, just being grateful to be here, being grateful to be alive, being grateful how far we've come. Right? Like, let's celebrate that. Let's look back. And what have we achieved and how far we've come? I know, like, things are completely ridiculous, out there. It's like, it's so, what do you say about something like that? It's so, right? What do you say?
Well, without going on a tangent of how strange and how chaotic things are, I think the best way to explain this is we've never, ever, as a human race, as this species, been through what we've been going through in the past several years and even further back than that. So we've absolutely entered a new ground, a new way of being that we've never experienced. So I think, in looking back, we've actually made a huge leap in our consciousness, in how we deal with what comes to us. I think we're actually doing a pretty good job at this point.
And I want to say that I am so grateful that we now have the wisdom, all of us, not Colin and me and you and just the people listening now, but everyone now has the ability to look more deeply and whatever is happening and know what's causing it, where it's coming from, and how to make more responsible choices, which hasn't been what humanity's been doing forever. We've been making unconscious choices as a species. And now we have the opportunity to look more clearly and deeply at what's going on and how A leads to B and make choices that are more conscious so we can create a better world. I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. It's knowing now that we have the tools, that we have the wisdom, that we can change our perception. Mm-hmm. We can change the way we perceive things, and we can make our present moments lighter and better by the choices that we make. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely. And this is something that our Pleiadian friends told us years and years ago. The sooner, the more quickly we change our attitude or our perspective. If something's coming towards us that's challenging or maybe not what we really wanted or expected, if we look at it by not being attached to it, not making it such a big deal in our lives, and even if it takes us off course, even if it takes us away from the higher vibration that we're living in most of the time, the quicker we choose to get into that sense of gratitude or thankfulness, we can change what's happening to us immediately. And I think if we understand that as a species, if we understand that societally, all we have to do is switch gears and go, well, this may be uncomfortable or this may be challenging. However, I can sidestep it. I can work around it. I can do something else that will change the energy. And I think the quicker we do that, the less emotional we will be, the less entangled in something that we really don't want to be involved with. So if we simply make choices as quickly as possible to bring ourselves back into our center, bring ourselves back into our heart space, it changes everything. It makes it smoother. It fills it with grace. It's a much, much better field to be in.
There's also a greater recognition now that everything is energy. And that means that we can take responsibility for what we manifest through the energy that we put out there, just like Colin was talking about making more conscious choices. If we realize, which I think more and more people do, that everything comes from energy, then if you put out the energy of complaining and getting angry and things like that, you're going to manifest something that's not going to make you very happy. And if you put out the energy of gratitude, you're going to manifest a lot more to be grateful for. So I'm really grateful also that we are able to say more and more people are recognizing that and acting upon it. That's a great thing.
And all we have to do, Cornelia, is retrain ourselves. All we have to do is simply remember, oh, I need not get into that space. I need not to get into that mood. I can alter this simply by my choices, my attitude, and my perception.
You know, the energy it's no nonsense right now. It's no nonsense. It's really being presented to us as, because we've talked about this before, you know, you mentioned it right now too, that everything is energy and we are managers of the energy. And so again, with everything that we've learned, with all the tools, with everything that we know how to do, how to raise our vibration, how to take us out of the, you know, negativity, how to take ourselves out. And so whenever something is presented right now, it's literally no nonsense. It's the 11th hour, past the 11th hour, almost at, you know, at that 12 o'clock hour, where we have to be the ones that are choosing that highest timeline, the timeline of grace, the timeline of peace, the timeline of love, the timeline of, you know, where we want to find ourselves in the space. We're the ones that are creating the environment with the energy. So it's no nonsense. So it's like, no, you're not coming into my house to create violence or war, or nope, we're not doing that over here. We have some pretty good boundaries. Nope. It's like, nope, it's no nonsense. It's just right there. And really with a no nonsense begins with us.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. It's as simply as I can say this, it's up to us. It's that simple. It's just up to us.
Yeah. You know, so I found myself, you know, it's going through the motions of like, wow, you know, when the intensity hits and things are really, really intense and it's like, you know, lightening the load, releasing the energies, letting go, surrendering. These are all wonderful ways to bring ourselves back into harmony. So I don't know about you, but certainly these tools that we've been developing, practicing over the years are coming in really handy right now.
Yes.
You know, so one of the things that I did, you know, in the last few weeks is, you know, I used to use my journal every day, like since like early on, I've been a journaler, putting my feelings on paper, no matter what they are. And one of the things that was really up for me in this last few weeks, I think in the journal, it says June 20th. I was inspired to write a very deep love letter to myself and really honor and acknowledge the places in me that felt frightened, the places in me that felt scared, and whatever the feelings were, and acknowledge that, and at the same time remind myself of the incredible amount of love and compassion and energy that I'm bestowing upon myself in this love letter. And so this is also for you, the listener that's listening to this, the love that we give to ourselves, that we provide for ourselves during times of, if you're challenged or if you're in a very, you know, intense situation and you don't know how to get out or whatever, but the surrendering and, you know, the journaling and the writing. What does that resonate with you guys, Pia and Colin?
Well, I can say I've been writing since the second grade, but it's not always journaling about my experience. I use writing as a form of creativity to help create something different and better. Mm. Sometimes I'm writing about personal experience. Sometimes I'm writing about things historical. But oftentimes my writing is very much edged towards the future. What could be better than this is the question. My very dear friend in Colorado taught me a long, long time ago that the first question we should always ask when things aren't going right is not what's wrong or why did this happen? The question is, what could be better than this? So I use my writing to address that question, what could be better than this? And it works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. What could be better than this? That is no judgment. And asking that question, right? And that changes the vibration immediately. What could be better than this? Because you're not in judgment of it or in resistance about it.
Well, I have to say, again, I didn't come up with that term. My dear heart friend, Rebecca Gretz, is the one who came up with that. But I think everybody should address that question because it makes such a difference.
It's called access consciousness. Have you heard of it before? Access consciousness?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called. Yeah. But I have the question of what could be better than this, I think, was also associated with that organization, Access Consciousness.
Maybe. I don't know. She taught me this 10 years ago, so I have no idea. They came from her.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she was a facilitator there, or maybe who knows. But you know, once it's in the field, it's in the field. It's out
there.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Absolutely.
That's what we want, is to have it shared and everybody to pick up on the energy of something that can help them move forward.
And actually, what we're noticing is that very thing is happening more and more, whether people call it synchronicities, whether people call it the 100th monkey, whether people call it in the field, we're noticing that more and more people are connecting with each other in some kind of magical, organic way. And whether this is simply telepathy or intuition, I'm not really quite sure what it is at this point, but people are just connecting in ways. And I have a really, really tiny example that I can share with everybody. P and I were in a furniture store a couple of days ago. And we were talking to the person who greeted us and wanted to help us find what we were looking for. And we didn't know this person. We had never met her. And she just began speaking about things that are close to our hearts, that things that we talk about, things that are important to us. She opened up, and I'm getting goosebumps telling this story. She began talking about things that P and I talk about every day, all day long. We don't always talk about things like this with everybody we meet, but she initiated this connection.
And it was deep.
And the more we spent time with her, we were waiting for some friends to show up to help us make some decisions about some furniture items that we wanted to look at. And they were kind of late. And so we ended up talking to this young woman for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour. And as Pia just said, the conversation got deeper and deeper, and the synchronicities and the commonality, the kindred spirit just woke itself up. And by the end of being there for an hour or an hour and a half, we felt like we knew her deeply and she knew us deeply. And we're finding this happening over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so something is up. I don't know if it's in the airwaves. I don't know what is taking place, but people are connecting in much deeper, much more immediate ways than we've ever experienced before.
And I think it has to do with being able to read each other's energy more clearly. Cullen and I have always been empaths and been able to read other people's energy. But I think more and more people just in the general world now are beginning to read energy. Goes back to what I said a moment ago about people are beginning to understand that everything comes from energy because everything is energy. So when you get to that point of recognition, telepathy is only a heartbeat away. You read each other's energy, you read each other's thoughts, and you begin to share at a deeper level. That talk about where we've come from too, that's a fantastic recognition of where we are now.
It's changing. It's absolutely changing. And the last thing I want to share about this very briefly is the mood that we left that store in was a higher, higher vibratory mood than when we entered the store. And this young woman that I'm speaking of, I could tell her energy was lifted up. I mean, obviously she doesn't talk to every client or every customer in the way she was speaking to us, but I think the three of us left in a much, much more balanced, much more elevated space than if that discussion hadn't taken place. So it was a wonderful, wonderful energetic experience.
Well, you know, what comes to mind right away, Colin, is that you say that, you've said that several times here when we've been, the three of us have been together. And, you know, always whenever we're done with one of these calls, how we always feel, right, throughout the call and doing this podcast here, and how you mentioned the number three. And so the fact that you two were in the store with this woman, three of you, having this discussion, there's that again.
Yep.
The power of three is manifesting a lot of places.
It is.
And it's a real energetic component of creation.
It's so symbolic of the creative spirit of the, I know we use the word energy a lot when we speak, but it really creates a different energy. It creates a frequency or a vibration that not only connects people in a deeper way, but it brings the spirit up. It really creates a very welcoming, very whole, very deep energy of communicating. And I'm seeing this all over. We see this happening time after time after time. And I think what's happening is, I think P is right. I think people are relying on their empathy and their intuition more and more. And it's showing us how truly connected we can be, that we can be dealing with a much deeper, different level of communication than we're used to talking or communicating through in simply words, just language itself. I think the heart connection is opening up, and we're able to communicate in a much, much better, deeper way.
Yeah, and it feels like, you know, this time period right now that we're in, even, you know, because I wanted to bring this up for, you know, the next 6 months, how do you see, what do you see happening the next 6 months? It just feels like it's all, you said it earlier, we're in new territory right now. We're in brand new territory. It's new. It's new. It's different. We really don't know. And I think we talked about that on one of our past shows, is that having the mind of, I don't know, right? That, and how we are being in, you know, in our expressions, and how will we create you know.
We're moving out of an old paradigm. You mentioned the question, how is it going to be for the next 6 months? And then you just answered it with, we don't know. That's the new paradigm. There is no more forward 5-year plans or 6-month plans because things are changing too fast. So it's, well, the bigger question is, what am I doing tomorrow? You know, just that, if anything.
Yeah, everybody used to think that they had to know in advance what's coming next. How are we going to plan our lives? Are we going to have a 3-year plan, a 5-year plan? And I have to admit that P and I were on the road constantly for years, speaking internationally and nationally. We had to know at least a year, or maybe a year and a half or 2 years, where we were going to speak, what hotel we were going to be in, what convention center we would be involved with. And I would say 3 or 4 years ago, it became nearly impossible for us to plan like that any longer because things changed.
Everything changed.
Everything changed. People stopped wanting to realize that they thought they were going to do something specific, particularly, and they realized that new things came up, new ideas, new friendships, and telling themselves, well, I'm going to be at this convention center in 2 years, or I'm going to be doing this. It sort of just blew away.
We have a very dear Swedish friend who explained to us that during this time period, because we were sharing with her like we're talking with you and your listeners, she said that the Swedish people decided there's, when somebody asks if you want to do something, there's now 3 answers. Yes, no, and yes, I'll do it if something better doesn't come along. And we just laughed. And she said they're using that in Sweden all the time.
Yeah,
that's so fun.
Yeah,
it's living. I think this is a pure example of living in the present moment. Instead of looking up on the calendar, I should be doing this. I want to be doing this. I need to be doing this. I think we've actually moved into a space where possibly that's not possible any longer. We may not be able to do that because go ahead, Pia.
I was just going to say, and isn't that great?
It really is, because here we've been talking about using our intuition and being in the flow for years. We've been talking about how to do it. We've been practicing it, living in the flow, using our intuition, and this is all part of that, this time period, because how will we create our world, our new earth, without this practice, right? Now, listening to our intuitive guidance more, trusting more, being in the flow more, being more heart opening, not having the ego 5-year plan down the road. You know, I think part of what I was experiencing, like, when you were talking, Colin, I had the insight again that I was looking, my ego was looking for direction. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for direction and there isn't one. Mm-hmm. So it's like now, you know, it's like, well, I'm feeling afraid here in this space. And that was what it was. And so I was, you know, offering myself that love, but I want to share this letter with you, because I want to share with you how I was asking for direction. And I want to share that, but that's what that was, because, you know, to actually be in that space, in that now moment where I was having those feelings come up, I want the clear direction. I want the plan. The ego wanted to know what's next, but this isn't how we're doing it here now. We are trusting. We are intuiting. We are in the flow, and so it was that. So let me share this with you. So from that space, I was sitting down and then I was writing that love letter, and it says, "Hi, babe," because that's how I talk to myself. And I say, "Hi, babe, I love you. I'm reminding you of how much I love you. and how much I adore you and see you and respect you. I know it hasn't been easy for you, but I want to remind you of your light, of your resilience, and of your strength. I know you are naked right now. You feel naked without anything, and you are being asked to trust more, to trust Source, to trust God, to carry you and give you direction. It was that directionless feeling that I was asking. The capacity that you have in being fully present to all the feelings, to all of your feelings, and being fully human is extraordinary. You are the light, you are the strength, and you will rise. Trust in me. Trust in God. Trust in yourself. I have a sacred space, my dear, for you right here that is filled with so much love for you, so much love. I'm showering you with it, a golden shower of love. And this letter came, you know, on the heels of coming out of COVID, because I also, you know, got sick. And so there was that, and just all the energies. And so feeling really vulnerable and feeling really, when you don't have your health and you're not feeling good in your health, that's when you know, things are really up on the table, and it adds a lot of uncertainty, because our health is in our wealth. Our wealth is in our health. And when we're feeling, healthy, that really helps us as well in navigating the energies of this time. You know what I mean?
We do. We do. It's a wonderful topic to talk about self-love, because we've talked about this before with you, and P and I have talked about this a lot publicly. We're trained to be of service and to love everyone first. We're trained in our families, within religion, within society. We need to spend every ounce of our energy pouring out love, helping people, being there, always being available. And unfortunately, in that paradigm, we don't spend enough time loving ourselves. We don't spend enough time spending time with ourselves, whether that's in quiet meditation, whether that's in walking in nature, whatever aspect that we can do to truly be communicating just with ourselves. And I think your love letter to yourself is absolutely important. This is emotional for me. You can tell my voice is changing. It's absolutely essential that we learn to love ourselves. And in loving ourselves, it's not selfishness. It's actually the opposite. We have to love ourselves first in order to be available to fully love someone else, whether it's another human, an animal, the trees, whatever it is. We truly have to come from a space of self-love, because if we're not supporting ourselves, if we're not loving ourselves, how can we possibly do a job that needs to be done in service to others if we're not whole in ourselves first?
There's something else, Cornelia, that your love letter brought up for me. And that is, when you're talking about health and you talked about how you get scared, our Pleiadian friends Lartma tell us all the time, it's really easy to send out love and light into the world when you're feeling good and things are going your way. But the real test is to be able to send out love and light when you don't feel good, when things aren't going your way. And what you did in that moment of writing that letter was you sent love and light to yourself. Instead of saying, poor me, why is this happening? You turned it around by saying, I'm sending love and light out into the world. And just the act of doing that helps us heal. If we stay in the place of why is this happening? Why am I sick? All we're doing is joining the negative energy. And if instead we say, I'm just going to love myself. I'm going to give myself the rest that I need. Whatever is out of balance, I trust it's for a reason. And staying in that higher space, whether we do it through writing a love letter or talking to ourselves or just taking action, it doesn't really matter. It's doing what Lartma says is important. Doing it when you're down and out is far more important than doing it when you feel good and everything's going great.
It's so true, Pia. It's so true. You know, it's during the times when we're tested, when things aren't going well, that is when we're really being asked to bring forth that higher loving energy. And honestly, I felt, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it was just me here by myself, with myself. And I already had a very healthy self-love practice. I mean, my gosh, I love myself. I know who I am, all the things. But there was that level of depth that I was now presented with, where I was, like I said to you earlier, I was really humbled and I was very vulnerable and just, you know, because again, being an entrepreneur, unless I'm working and having income and resources come in, and now I'm sick and I have no idea how long this is going to take. And this is taking a lot longer than I want or I thought, or my energy is normally like, come on, let's get it. Let's go. You know, this kind of energy, you know, and it was like, not like that at all. So to really allow myself the space and the time to heal and what kind of energy do I want to be healing in? What kind of energy do I want to be living in and loving in? And, you know, putting pen to paper, that was a way for me to see it. It was a way for me to see it. And it was like each word was the gift, each word to be able to see it. I could talk to myself, but then the next day I can come back to it again. And I have shared it now in several places at those right times. I had no intention of sharing it here today, but it just opened up to bring this out. Because again, we're talking about how far we've come and what we're celebrating as a human race. And to really be able to use the gifts of our mastery, the tools that we've developed and cultivated over the years, and that is to give love. Mm-hmm. And that is to give love to ourselves, because that was, you know, was the call, is the call at hand, because we've been left out of the equation because we were trained and conditioned to love thy neighbor first before you do anything else. And we had to really, you know, let those programs go and put the mask on first, take care of yourself first so that you can give from a full cup, that you can give. And then when you're talking about the 100 monkey, then that energy is rippling out and serving humanity in so many greater ways than we even know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's something I want to say about pen and paper. There's a magic relationship between using the mind, using our eyes, and using our hands by writing in longhand or printing. It doesn't matter how it comes out of the pen point. But there's a magic that happens that's different than typing on a typewriter or typing on a computer keyboard.
Absolutely.
Something happens that's magical between those three elements, the mind, the eyes, and the hands. And it's amazing. I know because I write.
Or the ink, the paper, and the person. Power of three, any way you look at it.
I hadn't thought about that, Pia. Absolutely. It's amazing that what happens when we take the time with pen and paper, pencil and paper, we create a zone or a field that allows the mind to bring out maybe subconscious ideas, maybe channeled ideas, maybe the depth of whatever, wherever it's coming from, the psyche, it's different. It's absolutely different than using a mechanical means of writing our ideas or our feelings down. And I think part of what you created that's so important and what you've shared with us is that you did it in longhand. You didn't type it out. It's a completely different process. And the meaningfulness of the words that come out of us by writing it is a totally different experience.
I have to absolutely say that's exactly right. When I was writing my first novel, mm-hmm. Cullen and I would be driving somewhere, going out to dinner, whatever. I had pen and paper in my hand and I'd go, oh, don't talk to me, have a thought. I'd be writing. I wrote that entire novel that way. It was on scraps of paper, napkins at restaurants. It didn't matter. But I wrote the entire novel like that. And then last year, I spent the year putting together, as a psychologist, I had a lot of people tell me deep truths, pain, stories that touched my heart. And I took the stories that touched my heart, plus my own experience and things that I knew or was learning about the world, and I converted them into stories so that other people could have what you did just now by reading a love letter, have an experience of reading a story that's cathartic for them, to help them get past places of being frozen in fear, to help them get past fear of all kinds of things. That entire book was about moving forward, getting out of being stuck. Exit Plan, for me, was a wonderful gift that I could give to others to help them see how to move forward.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. It reminds me of the songwriter that writes, you know, on little pieces of napkins, you know, the lyrics of the songs, right? And as you were talking, Pia, I was thinking that if I, you know, had to leave here in a hurry, like if I had to leave, what would I take? I can tell you I would take this. I can tell you I would take this because it's my most recent expression of love and truth, of where, of real depth and emotion that was bestowed upon me, that, you know, I would take this. This is something I would take. I wouldn't take a lot of things, but I would take this. So it's really interesting, because that's why the writing, the handwriting, the long hand is important. But it's so interesting because, you know, you have something like this, and then, you know, the other pages are talking about how I'm using my personal power to yield my energy now in the direction that I'm intuitively being guided to. Right. And right. In that sense, too. So you come to it from a place of I'm vulnerable here. I'm naked. I've surrendered. I'm right here. I'm right here with you. I'm the observer watching you. And I'm witnessing you give it all up so that you can live lighter and that you can love, you know, freer and be held in your humanity, because we're also human. And so to let all of those things, you know, be here now, this is a celebration for how far we've come.
So if I were to leave and could take one thing, I would take one of those also, but it would be full of blank pages and a pen with fresh ink.
So good, Pia. That's so good. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I have this journal that my mother had given me many years ago, and it was a blank journal. And so when I started my awakening journey, so this was, you know, like 30 years ago, when I started this path, I started writing in the back of that journal, what do I believe in? And at the time, you know, like 30 something years ago or whatever, maybe even more, I would have to look at the dates, but it, you know, like, what do I believe in? Like, what are my values? What are my beliefs? So even back then, I was already looking at my subconscious and my thoughts about what do I believe in? Because for some reason, whatever is happening here or whatever is being played out here, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if I believe in this. Like, what do I believe in? And really looking at, you know, those, and the journal has always been my go-to. You know, that's how I developed the emotional processing my feelings, putting my feelings out on paper, you know, transfiguring, transmuting the core wounding of betrayal and abandonment and not worthy and shame and victim consciousness and separation from source and all of those all through paper, not typing it out on the computer, because at first it was my own personal experience that I was in. And in my own personal experience, I was sitting with, what is this about? What is this feeling about? What do I believe in? These type of things.
It's entirely important for us to do things like this. And what you're describing, someone might not put this together, but I'm going to verbalize this. Journaling can also be seen as a form of meditation, because it takes us places that we wouldn't ordinarily go. I think it's a form of active meditation, because
contemplation.
We get, yeah, exactly, Pia. We get into a space that's different than our normal everyday space while we're doing this activity. And I see it as a therapeutic modality, because it's meditative, it's contemplative, but it's also exposing parts of us that might not be revealed to us if we didn't do that kind of activity. So I see it as a meditative, contemplative experience that I think if more people spent quiet time doing this activity, people would be, I think, much more in touch with who they are and the values you're talking about. What's really important to us comes out during these experiences of writing these deep, deep, deep things about ourselves.
I think there's another step, though, Cornelia, one that we haven't talked about yet, but I'm sure you're aware of it. And I think the other step is, once you've written it, you've had the love letter to yourself, you've written it, you've gone through the experience, you've gone back and reviewed it weeks or months later, whenever that is, you've had the experience, you've written about it, you've poured yourself out, you've opened yourself up, you've exposed all the things Cullen was talking about, you've really examined it, put it away, pulled it out again and reviewed it. And then I think the next step is the integration of it. It becomes you. And you no longer need it, at which point you burn the journal because it's not needed. You don't need that anymore. You're living it. And I think that's the next step. I know people who have stacks and stacks of journals. And as much as I write, I could easily have stacks and stacks of things everywhere. But I realize that that's who I was at the moment I was writing that particular story, that particular emotion, that particular whatever. It is not who I am now. I've already integrated that. So the next step to me is about integrating it, and then you lose the words. You don't need them anymore.
That's true. That's true. I've thrown, you know, over the last decade, there's a lot of journals that I had that I've, you know, once you integrate the experience, once you've had the experience, once you embody it, it's an embodiment of your experience, and you are the one that's approving it. You have brought your consciousness to it, and you have integrated it, and you're the one that, yeah. So, and then, yeah, I totally, you know, you don't need those journals. You don't need to carry that around. There is a few. Like there's one journal that I will specifically not get rid of. That's a conscious choice. And that was the beginning one. The beginning one. My first ever journal. And it was interesting because I started that journal, like I was saying, what do I believe in? That journal is still empty in the front because the pages are empty. it was the beginning of when I wrote it at the end of what do I believe in, because I wanted to write what I believe in the front of the pages and never did and never did. But the questions I was asking myself, what do I believe in? You know, what is my life about? Where am I going? All of these things, these questions I began asking myself. And I put the questions in the back of the journal to answer them in the front of the journal. And I never did. I did it through my experience then in my life. Mm-hmm. But the journal is still empty in the front. So this is a journal that I will always keep that way, because it's just, it's a story in itself, right?
You were talking earlier on the show about that we needed celebrations. And when I said we reached the point of integrating the journals that we choose to get rid of, and I said, you burn them, that is the celebration. That's the knowing that you've taken all that goodness in, you've integrated all the pain, you've accepted who you are, you've moved beyond who you were and are accepting and loving who you are now. And the burning of the journals is actually a celebration. It's a ceremony.
It is.
Yeah.
It is, because you use the words, Cornelia, transmuting and transformational. And in the exercise we're talking about, we do change, we do develop, we do evolve. And I think what Pia is talking about is a pretty amazing understanding that once we've gone through that process, we've changed ourselves. We have absolutely stepped into, I coined a term years and years ago, and I'm not sure people liked it or understood it, but I've used it in my writing forever. And it's very simple: our future selves. And we're constantly moving into our future selves. And because I've written about it, I really feel like it's a transformative step. We do things to grow. We do things to transform ourselves. And what that does is that takes us in each step to our future self over and over again. And I think by doing that, it's sort of an explanatory way of thinking about how we're evolving, how we're changing, how we're growing in ways that we may never have even thought about, that we would be so different whenever we look at ourselves in the now moment as we were not like this in times past.
The Pleiadians and Lartma's messages that they do on their live calls or other presentations that we've done, they frequently will refer to Cullen's term. Well, we like the term Cullen uses, your future self. And then they will go on to explain exactly what we have come to recognize as the truth. We are not the same person. There's a saying, I don't even remember who said it, but that you can't step in the same river twice. And that applies to us. Mm-hmm. We are 90% water, and our water changes on a day by day basis. Our cells die off, they create new cells, our thoughts are changed, and we have new opinions, new beliefs, new trustings, new everything. So we are not the same river ourselves the next day that we are today. We're constantly moving into our future selves. I love Cullen's term for that. I think it's great.
That is who we are becoming.
And yes.
Always like have a welcoming to your future self every day, like as we're becoming new. Welcome here. You know, here's you're being greeted with love, acceptance, understanding, and wisdom. Come to the table. Come and sit down. You're welcome here. Welcome. And that's even brings me back to the conversation in the furniture store with your person that you met, the wonderful person that you met. It is a welcoming of a heart connection with someone that you resonated with and you could have a deep communication with in the middle of the day, doing some mundane things, right?
Exactly. It's amazing how if we really look, as you said, back at who we were what we were doing, how we were doing what we were doing, and look at ourselves today, the expansion, the evolution, the difference in viewing what we thought we knew. Because many of us would say, I have figured out the universe. I know how it all works. I have done my work. And I think many of us today say, well, maybe we don't really know anything. Maybe we thought we knew. We thought we knew all this stuff. We thought we were masters of figuring it all out. And I think the more we develop, I think the more we grow, the more wise we become, maybe we know less than we thought we knew, because it's all new every day. It's not the same old stuff. It's not putting some precepts or some ideas together in a building block situation where, oh, as we age, we're going to get wiser and wiser and wiser. It could be the opposite of that. As we age and as we gain more experience, maybe we actually know less.
Maybe we become more innocent.
And it opens us up. It opens us up to more possibility. It opens us up to a wider range of what else could be true, what else could happen to us. So I think your idea at the beginning of this conversation about celebrating where we've come from and who we are now, I think is an incredible gift to ourselves, because we're constantly going to be different. We're constantly going to grow. And I think maybe at some point we're not even going to recognize ourselves.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, you know, what do you say about that? I like everything you said, Colin. And the word you used, Pia, becoming innocent. I really resonate with that. I really feel like that's what this is. That's what we are becoming, well, becoming innocent.
It puts us beyond the step that we have to go through. If I'm a survivor, look what all I've gone through. Mm-hmm. It takes us beyond that, back to our innocence again, because we have let go of everything that we survived, because we've already integrated it. It's part of our experience now, and it's part of what we learned from. So now we approach the stage of innocence because we've had all that.
That's so true, because you know what was happening to me in this last week when I was doing my my conversations with Source, with my higher self, and pouring my heart out of the things I'm tired of, which, you know, I will literally go into my closet, into my walk-in closet. I'll turn the light out. This is just one of my things. I'll turn the light out and I'll take a chair and I'll go sit inside that closet, and I just go in there, close the door, and I will just pour my heart out and just say everything I need to say in the darkness, because I love that space. It's just getting it out. So one of the things I was talking about is how tired I feel of this war, and how, you know, I said, I feel just exhausted from the war. It's like, you know, like feeling like, you know, fighting on this planet, like, right? Like, it's like we had to be warriors and fight and strength and, you know, all the things. And so I said, I'm just exhausted. I'm exhausted from this war. I am battle weary. And I just don't want to, you know, go back out there again, fighting this war. So it was so wonderful to hear myself say all this out, because where I came to later after listening to myself is that, yeah, you are laying it down. You're laying it down because you're approaching it with an entirely new way of being. And that is of the possible innocence, because we've integrated the judgments, the shadows, the wars. We've exposed it. We've exposed it as more is unfolding. But to put it down and to not feel like you still need to, like, be on guard in that way and fight the war. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, we do.
We do.
We do.
Let me give you a beautiful example of what the war can bring, no matter what the war is. And I'm speaking right now specifically about the war in Russia and Ukraine, the war between those two countries. I met a very beautiful woman today, beautiful spirit, beautiful heart, who's moved into our neighborhood, has a newborn baby. And I went over and welcomed her and took her some flowers. And she's from Russia. And I asked her, you know, where you're from and how long have you been here? And she said, I'm from Russia and we've only been here for a month. And brand new baby, adjusting to everything. And I looked at her and I said, that must be really hard leaving your country under circumstances like you're going through right now. And she looked right back at me and she said, it's not as hard as it is for the Ukrainians. This is a Russian woman. It's not as hard for me as it is for the Ukrainians. And guess what she's going to be doing? She's going to be opening a school for Ukrainian children who are displaced, not in her own country, not in Ukraine, and a separate neutral country in Europe. She's opening a school for Ukrainian children. So these wars, when we look beyond what the government is doing, whether it's a war about vaccines or whether it's a war between nations or whether it's a war about money, it doesn't really matter where it is. If we look past the government string pullers, the ones who are controlling the agenda, and look into the heart of the people, that's the perfect way to bring this full circle, to look how far we've come. We can see that we're all connected. We can see that we're in this together. We can see so much more than we could 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was amazing. I wasn't with Pia when she did this. When she explained this to me, I thought, how interesting, how heart-generated. A person from Russia who doesn't want to live in Russia anymore because of what's happening because of Russia, who moved here purposefully to start a school to help the Ukrainian refugees' children. I mean, that is like the gift of the Magi. That is absolutely doing something, following the consciousness of her heart.
And that's what we can all do, is look to the heart with transparency. Who is standing right in front of you? Forget all the outer layerings of ego and shell, of what you might see of personality. Look at the heart. Look, use that telepathic wisdom that we're gaining through seeing the energy of the person. And we come more together collectively on this path of light by doing that. When we do that, there will be no more wars, because we will win.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I just want to say it's beautiful. I love that woman is, you know, following the promptings of, you know, her heart, like you said, and what's next. And that's a way that we all can do that in, you know, in the things that we're feeling called to do. I know that for me personally, it was more about this part was to acknowledge how exhausted, you know, we've been holding the line and holding the space, you know, transmuting, transcending, transfiguring this consciousness for a long time. And for me, it was more personal on that end than anything. And so that was the part. There's also the next wave of people that are coming in to do those kinds of things, like this woman, what she's doing. That next wave of people is already now ready to step into their roles, ready to step into their positions and do, you know, what it is that they're feeling called to do. Yep. And so maybe it is a passing of the torch is what I saw it too. For me personally, you know, like I'm going to pass this on and I'm going to hold the space. I'm going to anchor the light and I'm going to support in another way, in a different way. That's what I felt like for me is what's happening for me. So
You're giving me goosebumps, because P and I talk about this very subject matter quite often. Many of us have been on the front lines, as you just described, for a long, long time. And there are always new people in new generations who have new ideas, a new power, a new force. And I think it's absolutely essential that elders give hand off the torch to newer groups, to the newer understanding, the newer energy. I Cornelia, I think you're absolutely right. I think we've done a lot of work. It's not that we're not going to continue. You said we're still going to anchor, we're still going to support. But I think possibly how the world is changing, how the universe is changing, maybe the work that some of us who have been doing so much for so long, mm-hmm. maybe our work is changing. And maybe what we're going to be doing is going to be on a completely different level, a completely different way of helping.
You're just giving me the chills all over. So that's a resonance, and that's real. And I think that was also the reason of why I was asking for direction, because my ego was like, what? You know, like, okay, wow, you know, I have no idea what's next here for me. And okay, you know, and really surrendering and letting go and being okay with, you know, passing on the torch. I haven't said those words, but I really feel like that's what it is, that the elders of, you know, the work that we've done, we've done our mission in the sense of we've transcended it, we've integrated it. It's we've done all that work. We're at this space of innocence. And now all those other people, that second wave or next phase or whatever you want to call it, those people are now ready to be to go to that front line now with the torch handed by us. Okay, it's your turn now to go bring your brilliance to what it is that you're going to be doing here, because yeah. you know, and we're going to be doing it in different ways. I mean, maybe we're going to be doing it in ways that, you know, the same way that we're being supported by our guides in the invisible, maybe that's how we're going to be doing it. You know, who knows? I have no idea. And it's always so nice to know. It's always so nice to sit with, I have no idea.
I think, I mean, P and I and others that we communicate with have been saying this for some time. I'm not sure the true work that we came here to do has even begun.
Ah, that's good. You know, I think we'll end here. And we'll begin with this topic when we come back next time. So that's what we'll do. Let's try to remember that. You know, I'm holding all of us accountable here.
No promises on that.
No promise. Yep, we're not going to promise anything. But this, I think, is a good time. We've gone a little bit over the hour. I want to be able to load this onto my other podcast, and there I only have 60 minutes, so I want to be able to do that. I want to thank you so much for this very enlightening, enriching, love-filled conversation. Always so pleasant to have you here talking to me about this and our viewing audience and our people that tune in and listen to us. Pia, I know that you all recently published your wisdom card deck. Let's tell everyone. I don't know that much about it yet, but let's tell everyone where they can get it.
Sure. It's the original Pleiadian Wisdom Oracle Card Deck. And the easiest way to get it is to go to your local bookstore and give them the ISBN number, which you can find on our website, larkmaa.com. Or on the website, you'll also find a link to Book Depository. And if you want to order the book online, Book Depository ships all over the world, and they'll get it to you very quickly.
Good. And Pia, would you mind giving us the links, you know, sending me an email? I'll put the links in the description below as well.
Sure. I'll be glad to do that. Thank you.
Great. I want to thank you all. Love you so much.
Love you too. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you again next time. Have a wonderful day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.